I'm Mike Morford, and I've been researching the Zodiac case for years. Zodiac, just the name. It sounds sinister. It inspires fear. The fact that a serial killer would give himself this moniker is disturbing. He would go on to taunt police by sending letters and codes to newspapers for years. And the attacks, they were something else altogether. If you were a young couple in a secluded area, you could easily be a target. And it wasn't just shootings on dark lovers' lanes. Zodiac would even attack with a knife in broad daylight while wearing an executioner-style hood. After a while, Zodiac changed tactics, and even lone cab drivers weren't safe. The Zodiac killer terrorized the San Francisco Bay Area and then vanished. But he left a lot of clues behind along the way. Clues that we're going to examine closely on the new podcast, Zodiac Speaking. New episodes of Zodiac Speaking come out every other Saturday starting March 13, 2021. Subscribe today wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss a single episode.
The Oracle Network. Hello and welcome to Reverie True Crime. As always, I'm your host, Paige.
No, God has a plan. I know that in my heart. And I always say, God, you gave her to me. I just pray you give her back. Baby girl, you gotta be strong, whatever the situation is, and you gotta come home. You gotta come home.
What you just heard are the words of a grieving, broken mother named Sabrina Jones. Weeping, mourning the loss of her daughter, and she isn't sure if she's alive or not. However, I do think she is still out there, due to the circumstances, the small amount of evidence, and many tips that have been brought to light. I also think the family still holds out hope that she is out there. It's a case that is so maddening because so many people seem to know who has LaShea Stein, but they won't even call anonymously to tell who it is. Let's get started. LaShea Stein was a vibrant 16-year-old living in Aurora, Colorado, and she was attending George Washington High School. She was last seen by her mother, Sabrina Jones, on July 15, 2016, as they went to bed. An ambitious, honor roll student, beautiful, intelligent, and ready for a job interview on the 16th, she had dreams and plans for her future. After high school, LaShea was going to go to college for nursing. She was even chosen by the University of Colorado Hospital for an internship. Everything was going great for this incredible teenager. On the morning of July 16, 2016, her family was so excited for her big day and went to LaShea's room to wake her up so she could get ready for her job interview. However, she was not in bed. They checked the house to make sure LaShea wasn't in another room. She was gone. The family kept calling her cell phone, but LaShea never answered. Her phone would go straight to voicemail each time. LaShea's family roamed the neighborhood searching everywhere. Their efforts were, sadly, fruitless. When her family called the police to report her missing, they said what we hear way too often, that she was likely just a runaway and she would return home. So, her family kept searching with no leads for a while. They checked online to search if they could see if her location was available on her cell phone. It was shown that she had turned her phone on and off, but that was about it. They were able to check her call log and text messages. They wrote down all of the numbers ingoing and outgoing. They called all of the numbers, but nothing came of that. So the next thing the family did was check LaShea's social media pages, which didn't lead to any clues that pointed towards her planning on going anywhere. Basically, all they could do now was get a search team of family and friends together to keep looking for LaShea. They were at least given missing person flyers to pass out and place around the neighborhood. This went on for about a week. The police chief had been out of town when they called to report her missing, but when he got back to the police station, he did take a better look at Lashaya's case, and he wasn't very happy with how the police had handled everything when they called to report her missing. Shortly after, the police found surveillance footage of Lashaya the very night she disappeared from her home, and they let the family know. The footage shows Lashaya walking near East Montview Boulevard and Peoria Street at 2:30 in the morning. This video was released to the public, hoping to bring in tips, as the chief also held a press conference to bring more attention to her disappearance. At the time of Lashaya's disappearance, she weighed 150 pounds. She's 5 feet and 6 inches tall. She's a black female with brown eyes and black hair, possibly wearing a wig. She was born on February 8, 2000. She may have lost weight since she went missing. Tips were coming in from Missouri, Kansas, Arizona, and New Mexico. Lashaya has a quarter-sized scar on her chest. She also may be going by a different name. On the night of her disappearance, she was last seen wearing a black V-neck shirt, black stonewashed jeans, silver hoop earrings, and a silver watch on her left wrist. Her mother, Sabrina, started wondering why her daughter would be walking around so late, leaving behind her wallet, phone charger, and her clothes, indicating that she planned to return home. Lashaya's window was unlocked, and a little plant which normally sat on a little shelf on the window was pushed to the side. So that is obviously how she snuck out that night, and likely how she planned to sneak back in. Sabrina said that her daughter could be naive at times, and possibly went to meet someone that she may have met online. But she wasn't sure because they couldn't find anything that 100% proved that she was meeting up with anyone, not even a friend. When you're a teenager, especially being slightly naive and don't really understand when you're being manipulated, as I very much was like that at her age, some of us wanted to believe people were genuinely good. And we didn't think about the danger we could have been in, or we did get ourselves into sticky situations that could have been way worse. Personally, I never even thought about the serious things that could have happened to me when I was that age. My eyes weren't fully open to the reality of the extent of how wicked the world can truly be. I was focused on being a little rebellious and having fun. However, Lashaya wasn't known to be the rebellious type at all to her family and friends. She would actually ask her mom if she could go to parties instead of just going out without saying anything, and she always asked for approval before going places. Her mom would explain to her how, after a certain time, nothing good really happens at parties, and reportedly her mom wouldn't let her go. Which, my parents were the same way, so I completely get the protectiveness and how Lashaya was always super disappointed that she couldn't go. I can see with adult eyes now that her mom was absolutely giving her daughter great advice and did the right thing, in my opinion. So, although she was naive at times, she was an extremely smart girl with her head on her shoulders and her mind on the right things, such as her schoolwork, her goals, passions, and dreams. She was even set to graduate high school early. Lashaya was so gifted. The fact that her family has not heard anything from Lashaya since is a major red flag. Teenagers that do run away more than likely would not leave behind their wallet, clothes, and especially their phone charger. Lashaya did not run away that night. Wherever she was headed, she thought she was going to be returning home in time to get ready for her job interview that she was so excited for. This seemed to be so out of character for Lashaya, and her family knew something was wrong. A week after Lashaya went missing, Sabrina talked to CBS Denver News 4, stating, quote, "I'm scared for your safety, baby girl. You gotta call mommy. She's a good girl. She's never given me any trouble. She's never given me any reason to believe she would go walking off somewhere. My daughter, Lashaya, I never would have thought she would have done something like this. I'm actually pretty shocked." End quote. Among people questioned about her disappearance were her friends and ex-boyfriend. The police hit a dead end with no information that could help and no suspects. Tips began to pour in, suggesting that she was a victim of sex trafficking, which the police believe could be the most likely scenario, unfortunately. There were alleged sightings of her coming and going from sketchy motels that were in places that were commonly known to be scary, sex trafficking areas, and gangs were prevalent as well in these areas. It was claimed that she was seen at parties before her disappearance, and she had friends that her mom had no idea about, which makes the sex trafficking theory that the police have even more substantiated because of how it's done. Lashaya could have been watched for a while. She could have been only seeing these friends in person and not contacting them over the phone or online. There was some reason she did not want her mom to know about these friends. That's also such a teenage thing to do sometimes. Sneak out, hang out with people that may not be the best influence, and those kind of things. But that absolutely did not make her a bad kid in the slightest. One specific danger in doing this could have become Lashaya's reality. With sex trafficking, there are many ways teenage girls are lured into it without even knowing they are. If Lashaya was going to parties and someone was watching her and wanted her for the purpose of trafficking, they will normally send in a teenage female to groom the victim. People that are in sex trafficking are terrified of the adults that run the trafficking rings, so they're absolutely going to obey what they tell them to do. It's not like a situation where the person made to go buddy up with someone wants to make that person a victim too. So it's highly likely that another teenage victim was brought in to become good friends with Lashaya and planned to meet up that night as soon as her mom went to bed, and that was the night that she was taken. It is absolutely frightening, but it happens more than it's ever talked about. Allegedly, she was seen with a male who was believed to be taking her out of the state of Colorado, going to different states and bringing her back on and off again. These allegations of her being seen at different motels and hotels seem to be factual, because one person called in and described how the girl she saw had a scar on her chest, which I mentioned before Lashaya did in fact have. Luckily, there was a female who obviously saw her chance to flee from her trafficker, who let the police know she was with Lashaya being sex trafficked with her. She said she begged Lashaya to come with her, but she was too afraid to. The name of the man has never been given, and apparently a lot of people do know who it is, which makes this even more frustrating, but it also shows that this is a powerful person that people fear. The police followed up on all the tips they received, but they always came up empty-handed when they searched the motels. However, on one occasion, a local pimp, who had made a promise in the past to let the family know if he came across any information, called Sabrina and said that her daughter was in a certain hotel in room 101. They immediately called police and they bolted for the hotel. When they got into the room, no one was there, but there was female clothing strewn across the room. The family was made aware that they just missed the traffickers who were taking a young female out of the hotel and forced her to get inside a dark blue vehicle only 5 minutes before the police got there. It's not clear whether it was a complete coincidence or if the man or multiple people were somehow privy to the fact that the cops were coming. The family spread the word all over social media, sharing their story and pictures of LaShea. More tips flooded in for about 4 months. One call was from a female who was having a conversation with her boyfriend, and he said that he heard LaShea was taken to Kansas. This female contacted Sabrina right away, but when it came down to it, her boyfriend would not talk to the police because of his gang relations. A lot of people know who this man is that they kept calling and reporting, but no one would ever give up his name because they are scared to death of him. This is also disheartening when you can call anonymously and no one will ever know you gave the name, and you'd never have to tell anyone that you did. So please, if you can help and you know this man's name, tell the police or the family. If it was someone that you loved in LaShea's situation, you would want that done for you. In a video message 1 year after LaShea went missing, Sabrina said, quote, "Baby girl, it's mommy. I never thought in a million years that I would have to go a whole year without seeing your face, your smile, hearing your laugh. Whatever situation you are in, just know that we are waiting for you and we're looking for you and we won't stop." End quote. LaShea's oldest brother also spoke in the video message, saying, quote, "It's so hard to believe. I'm going to continue to do what I'm doing. I love you so much. I just want you to come home where you belong, with your family. It's real hard on me to even try to go through my day because it's without you. It's been a year and it's crazy. I wake up every day just asking God why. I don't know what I did. I blame myself every day. I know we didn't always have the greatest relationship. I love you so much, and I just hope and pray you come home." End quote. Based on all of the tips that were mostly about sex trafficking and being drugged, her mother had to face the terrifying, heart-wrenching reality that could be likely what happened, saying, quote, "I've been sent several things. Some of them just absolutely horrifying. They say, I don't think she's missing. She's being prostituted all over the place. She needs to try and get away from whatever it is. If she can get to me, I will protect her. I will do anything to protect her." End quote. There were young females even showing pictures to the police and the family of LaShea with people they didn't even know, a lot being adults. No one even knew or were at all familiar with the females that came forward with these pictures. They didn't attend the high school that LaShea did. This makes a lot of people believe, even though she was so close with her family, and it seems impossible that she would do anything like this, at the end of the day, she was still a teenager who could have had some friends that her family didn't know about. There's a possibility that she was groomed, taken advantage of, and the people or person that she began to trust could have been dangerous without her knowing. This is a sad reality for so many children, teenagers, and adults everywhere, and being a family member or friend of the victim must be the hardest thing in the world. Of course, this could have been a kidnapping situation, but there has to be some reason she left her room that night. It just doesn't make sense that she would go outside that late, leaving everything behind for absolutely no reason. In 2018, something happened that would have made anyone with a missing child have heart palpitations. A 23-year-old female from California named Rosari Young had texted LaShea's mother, Sabrina. Rosari said, "LaShea is safe and well taken care of." First of all, can you even imagine how Sabrina must have felt getting this random text? So Sabrina replied, "Where is she? Please, I miss my daughter so much. I cry every day. Please, I will die without her. We love her so much." This mama's pain hurts me to my soul. Anytime you see her talk about LaShea and read things like this, your heart just breaks. Rosari texted back, "LaShea owes me money for losing my shit. You're gonna pay me back or she's gonna work for it. And if she tries to run off, she's gonna get what she deserves. You get police involved and you'll never see her again." Sabrina was probably shaking at this point. I can't even imagine. And she texted back, "What does she owe? Tell us how much, please." The reply to Sabrina said she owes over $2,000, but we can work something out to get her back home. I'm tired of hearing her crying, and I must repeat, if you get the law enforcement involved, the deal will be off. Sabrina immediately went to the police with this information. It came to light that Rosari had been arrested after an undercover prostitution sting operation. During the bust, the police found these text messages in her phone. Sabrina was not the only person she texted these types of messages to either. Another female, Alicia Yeoman, had gone missing in March of 2017, and she was basically texting this family the same things. In May of 2017, Alicia's body was discovered. Rosari was charged with interstate transmission of a threat to injure with the intent to extort. In 2019, there was a picture of what LaShea most likely looks like today. I'll definitely post her pictures and the age progression pictures on my social media accounts. That same year, Sabrina told the Denver Post, quote, "When a child dies and you know, you can start to heal. But when you don't know where she is and what she's going through, you're in a gray area. To me, that's worse than death. What if we never know?" End quote. At this time, it had been 3 years since LaShea disappeared. And her mother, of course, was still grieving and having a hard time, as I'm sure she still is to this day. Sabrina had lost 50 pounds since LaShea vanished, and there were countless days and nights of no sleep and no eating for Sabrina. She told the Denver Post, quote, "I'd give anything just to hear her voice. I need that so badly." End quote. LaShea's mother wants to get at least one message to her, saying, "I'm so sorry, baby. I know you're scared." She would also tell LaShea that she's not giving up. Sabrina, LaShea's older brother, and others in the family have a tattoo of #FindLaShea somewhere on their bodies. One of LaShea's five brothers said, quote, "It's still hard to believe to this day. There's no trace of her. At least if we knew something, it would help a whole lot. We're going to keep looking and do what we have to do to keep this going. I just wish my sister and I didn't argue so much. I feel like I wasn't there as much as I should have been. It hurts a lot." At the time, her brother had a son who was 2 years old, and he continued to say that he just hopes one day LaShea and his son get to meet each other. One thing about family members or anyone you love that may go missing or has gone missing, you cannot harp on and keep reliving those times you argued or had a falling out. That's natural for families and friends. It happens. I can assure you, they're not thinking about those times at all. They're not holding grudges, especially if they've been abducted and held against their will. They're more than likely simply wanting to be back with you as much as you want them back. And that love will never go away in life or death. It seemed like life was moving on for many people. The detectives, friends, and various others. It was as if LaShea's story was no longer important to some. But let me make it loud and clear, LaShea is definitely still important to her immediate family, friends, and many of us who don't even know the family personally, and she and her story will always be important. It started to become a major letdown when Sabrina would have fundraisers and other events to keep LaShea's name out there and etched into the minds of everyone possible. However, even her friends stopped showing up to the events, which deeply hurt Sabrina's heart, to the point that she no longer cared to plan any more events at all. Sabrina began staying home, mourning with her family, posting on social media with the age progression photos and information. According to the Denver Post, Sabrina now has a heart condition. I'm not sure what kind, but it is likely due to all of the stress and heartache. In November of 2020, there was a twist. Tips and leads started pouring in about a house close to where LaShea was seen in the surveillance video. The family that lived there when LaShea disappeared were not the people who were living there at the time. So they had to wait until these people who were living there moved out to investigate and search the house not far away from the intersection of Peoria and Montview. LaShea reportedly knew the people who lived there at the time she went missing. There are rumors that this was her ex-boyfriend's house. However, that is not confirmed. The investigators stayed there for days with various equipment as well as canines. A police officer stated that there were jackhammers involved, concrete saws, and heavy equipment. And according to the Denver Post, the police said they found evidence that they were processing. It's unknown what was found inside the home. Investigators did find some evidence in the home, which made them set their sights on a certain area. Of course, we don't know where, because there's a lot that investigators want to keep close to the vest. LaShea's family released a statement saying, quote, "Our family remains hopeful that we will find LaShea and bring her home," end quote. As of July 2021, on the date of the fifth year she had been missing, the police made a call to action for anyone to come forward with any useful information. Investigators highly believe someone knows where she is, and there is a $15,000 reward if you come forward with information that will lead to LaShea's whereabouts. The police have put LaShea Stein's case in the state cold case database, and they will not give up their quest and mission to find her. Psychologist and Navy veteran Sherry Davis from Madison, Alabama, who was trapped in a violent relationship at one point, and who also had been a missing person herself before, said, quote, "One thing I think for sure about the missing teens is that human trafficking is a hotbed in my city and around the country. I think it's very easy for the courts and police to turn their heads the other way and not deal with the problem at hand. I had to escape from my abuser in the middle of the night, naked, and running down the road, praying that a good bystander helped me while I'm covered in blood. The families of these young ladies need to be in the face of law enforcement officials and let them see the pain they are in every day that those girls aren't home or safe. End quote. If you have any information, please call the Aurora Police Department Crimes Against Children tip line at 303-739-6164. Or you can remain anonymous by calling the Metro Denver Crime Stoppers at 720-913-7867. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. My thoughts and prayers are with LaShea and her family. I feel in my heart that LaShea is still out there and someone knows something. I hope the family gets answers and they're able to bring their baby girl home. Until next time, everyone, please stay safe and take care.